our Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, verse 16. But let me read to you beginning in verse, no, let's just begin in verse 10 again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand and in the evil withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, everyone say that, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you, Christian, will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the church says, amen. Amen. What an incredible scripture. Amen. Think about that for a minute. As we talk about the shield of faith this morning, you know, we are continuing, remember, to walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, walk worthy of your calling. Remember the word worthy. Somebody just tell me what it means. You've heard it. It's a set of what? A set of scales, isn't it? It's 5 pounds here, 5 pounds here, which makes you perfectly balanced, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear God's word, you believe God's word, and then you do God's word. Amen? You walk on the promises of God by his grace, by the Holy Spirit, who gives you the power to do so. Now, we have already girded ourselves up with truth. That stays with us all the time. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. It never moves. It stays right there. We've shod our feet with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace. All of these are God's, this is God's armor. It's all supernatural armor. There's not one natural thing about it. Now, with all that being said this morning, you have to believe with all of your heart, especially because of the enemy that wants to rock everyone to sleep, that you must be a warrior every day, whether you feel like it, whether you want to, whether you're full of joy or whether you feel joyless. Do you understand? You have to be a warrior every day. There's no way around it. You know, you can, I don't even want to go there, Lord. Don't do that yet. Listen, we are the only people, put this into your heart, we are the only people on earth that have been given the promises of God. We're the only people on earth that know about the devil and his methods, and we know that he's defeated, and we know how to keep him in that realm. Amen? We're the only people on earth who have been given the word of God, which is the true word of God, to fight against the methods, the wiles of the unseen enemy, who is called the devil or the destroyer. Man, listen, God has given us so much. So this morning, as we put on, or no, we don't put on the shield of faith, we take up the shield of faith. Let's look at the scripture. Above all, it says, taking the shield of faith with which you, it's a personal thing, loved one, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When it says above all, it's a matter, yes, of priority, but what Paul the apostle is saying here in the word is, in addition to everything that you have already put on or that you already have, he says you need to do something. So what happens here is a transition. We have two verbs. We have having and, you know, putting on, and then we have taking, okay? So we need to make sure we understand that, because that's the transition. We have on right now, have we girded ourselves up with truth? Okay, that stays right there. It's not going to move, loved one. We never take that off. And then having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord, it stays with us. It's something that God has done to us, okay? It's a divine fact of God. And then it says, having shod your feet with the gospel of peace. That's all past tense. They never move. They always stay there. So now we move from the verb having girded, for example, to not having the shield of faith, but another verb, taking, it says, the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, taking up the sword of the Spirit, in other words. So the first three pieces of armor, they are stationary. They're right there. We wear them every day. But the next three pieces, but we're only concerned about the fourth piece, the shield of faith, that is something, loved one, that we must take up. They're not attached. Do you understand? That's something we must do. We must take the shield of faith every morning, every day. We have to keep that available and keep it ready for battle. Now, if we compare this to the natural realm, remember the Roman soldiers, you know, we have a picture of a Roman soldier and we think they have that little bitty sword, you know, and they have that little bitty gladiator thing they're fighting in the, you know, this is not the kind of sword that they're talking about. This sword is incredible. It's anywhere from 6 to 7, 8 feet high, anywhere from 2 or 3 to 4 feet wide. It's rectangular, okay? It is a huge shield. Now, that's the kind of shield that we're talking about. Why? The shield of faith is a full body shield. It covers the whole Christian. Does that make sense? Very important that we see that. You know, whenever in Roman times, and many in all times, actually back then in the ancient days, whenever soldiers came to attack a city, to take a city, now they all came with those kind of shields. And you know what they did? Remember, if you've seen any of the movies or if you've studied history, they would put all those huge shields that they were carrying and they would put them side by side. Remember? Are y'all with me? Okay, side by side. In other words, they would lock them together so whenever the arrows or the hot tar or whatever, the rocks, whatever they were throwing at them, would not harm them. Now listen, if there has ever been a time when the church should be locking their shields together as tightly as they can, it is right today. Amen? We are in a war and we are in the strangest time in our personal history, and how we need to be united in everything that we do. And matter of fact, we need to be standing as one new man because we are the one body, the body of Christ. It says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy. There's that word again, that balanced walk. Your conduct there means act like, it means really citizens. It means act like, behave and act like citizens of heaven would act. So it says, let your conduct be of the gospel or worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he says that you stand fast. In other words, you have your feet shod, you're ready, you're firm-footed, you can't be moved. He says, stand fast in the Spirit, in one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, one mind, Philippians 2:5, 2 Corinthians 2:16, that is the mind of Christ that you stand fast in. And he says, stand fast in one Spirit, one mind, here it comes, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I like Beck's translation. He says, fighting side by side like one man. And that's what we're to do. Man, listen, let me tell you what the devil wants. The devil wants us to throw darts at each other. Did you know that? He wants us to attack from within the body of Christ. No, we don't want to do that. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the shield of faith, it's movable, it's transportable, it's something that you take up spiritually, if you will. Now, here's the interesting thing about the shield of faith. In the Greek, if you looked up the word shield, okay, it literally means a door. And you start thinking about, well, a door, what does that mean? Well, first of all, faith is always the doorway to victory. Amen? And you know what's so wonderful is that our shield is a door, and we know who that door is. It says in John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That word literally there means not only salvation, it means if you come to Christ, I am now your good shepherd, and I will keep you safe, and I will keep you sound. So I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And listen carefully, and he will go in. He will go out and find pasture. But the thief, he does not come to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come, Jesus said, you might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, Jesus is the only door by which anyone can enter and be saved. But he's also, the good shepherd, is the door for the sheep. He is our shield. Remember what happened in the sheepfold? The shepherd would lead the sheep into the sheepfold, and there was just like a wall around him, no ceiling or anything. Where did the good shepherd, or the shepherd of the sheep, where did he sleep? He was the door. He slept right in the entryway. He protected them from anything that would try to harm them and so forth. Now, the Jews took the meaning, they interpreted the meaning, to go in and to go out of the sheepfold meant absolute perfect safety. Absolute perfect security, where there would be, you'd have nothing to fear. The good shepherd, the shepherd is the door right there, and he's not going to let anything harm you. That's why Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give, not will give, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. In the Greek, that's a double negative. I will never, no, never, no, never will anyone ever perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now listen to me. We are in a war, and that is the promise from our good shepherd, the chief shepherd, amen, our Lord and Savior. He said, no one's able. No one can destroy you. You belong to me. No one can take you out of my hand. Never. That's a great word, isn't it? Come on, good days, bad days, sad days, tragic days, great days. No one can, no. Jesus is our door. He is the shield of faith. But listen to me. When we talk about faith, we have to understand why our Lord there is the door. Who, in whom are all the promises? 2 Corinthians 1:20. In whom are all the promises? Yes, and again I say yes and amen. Jesus. You see, every promise in Christ that God has made is absolutely yes in Christ. He is our doorway to all the promises of God. So he says there, above all, man, you got to take up the shield of faith and you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now listen carefully. Talking about faith, the devil is so cunning and he is so subtle, if you will. You know, we love the Lord. And, you know, we want to serve the Lord. And here's the problem. One of his wiles is to empower negative faith. It's faith, but it's not the right kind of faith. In other words, negative faith is like it's head knowledge. You have it up here, but it's not heart knowledge. Does that make sense? In other words, it's mental assent. Listen, mental assent believes that that the Bible is the Word of God. Mental assent believes that every word of God is absolutely true. But whenever attack comes or tragedy comes or issues in life comes, you fall apart. Why? It's only mental assent. In other words, the enemy wants you to say, yes, I believe the Bible, I believe it cover to cover, but do you understand? That's exactly what he wants. Listen carefully now. The devil is not moved because you know God's word. The devil, the powers of darkness, they're not terrified, they're not moved because you can quote scripture. They're not terrified, and they're certainly not moved because you have memorized scripture, and all of those things are desperately needed for the believer. See, it's one thing to know the truth of God, amen, but it's quite another to believe the truth of God's word. You see, here's the deal, and I don't want you to ever, ever forget this. Satan and the powers of darkness, they do not respond. They do not yield to mental assent, meaning head knowledge. They're not moved. They're not moved if you say, I hope so. I hope this is going to happen, or maybe. No, our defeated adversary yields only to one thing, and it terrifies him, and that is faith. Amen? Listen, loved one, Satan hates verse 16. Do you understand that? You can talk to me. I need somebody to talk to me this morning. Amen? It's not a sin to say amen. That means so be it forever. Amen. Listen, he is terrified of verse 16. He is terrified of the believer that acts upon verse 16 and it's a living in his heart. Why? Well, it quenches all the fire, his fiery darts. You see, Satan hates faith and God rewards faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible, right, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a what? Rewarder. He rewards you. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:20, it says, and now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think according to the power, meaning the Holy Spirit of God, who works in us. Who works in us, loved one? Now, here's the deal. That's a great scripture that God can do anything. I mean, boy, anything we ask, he's able exceedingly abundantly above all ask or think. Man, so you don't question, and I don't question that God is able, but do you question that he's able to do something or anything for you? See, that's the question that we have to ask. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3:5. It says, every word of God is pure. There's no mixture to God's word. It's pure. It's lovely. He says, and God, he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Now listen, that's faith. Amen? The shield of faith, if you have it, if you take it up, if the shield of faith will always provide perfect protection from the fiery darts of the wicked one. But you have to believe in your heart. You have to believe God's word. Remember the shield, again, it covers the total person. And when you walk in faith and you take up the shield of faith, you're like the untouchables. Do you understand? You can't be touched by the wicked one. No. Remember in Genesis 15:1, whenever Abraham in chapter 14, the kings came and they took off Lot and everything that Lot had and all his possessions because he was living in Sodom. And then remember Abraham, he gathered up 318 of his trained servants and came to them at night. Man, they took him and beat them all up or whatever, took back all the goods that was stolen and took back Lot and so forth. And then Melchizedek met him and brought the wine and the bread. Y'all remember all that? Okay. He says, and then in Genesis 15:1, it says, after these things, the things that I just told you, God gave a word to Abram, it says, in a vision. And this is what God said. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, oh, do not be afraid, Abram. Listen carefully now, guys. I am your shield. I am your great and exceedingly great reward. Now listen, if you study the Bible, first mention is so important. In that one short verse, the first time it was ever mentioned in the Bible was the word of the Lord, vision, shield, reward. It was the first mention of I am, in a sense, when it was, you know, when God revealing himself, even though he told Moses later on in Exodus, I am that I am. And it was also the first mention of do not be afraid. Now listen to me. God is our shield. God himself, the Son of God, our Savior. He is the door. He is. Are you with me? Oh, listen, we need never be afraid of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Man, who is greater than God? Who is greater than our Savior? No one. Oh, and not only that, God said to Abram, he didn't say, I'm going to reward you. He didn't say that. What did he say to Abram? He said, I'm your reward. He said, God himself. He said, oh, Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. Loved one, pick up the shield of faith. You take it up. It says right there, again, look at it. Above all, it's paramount. You have to do this. He says, taking the shield of faith in which you, it is now personal. You, it's up to you now, will be able to quench all, that means it's possible, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Only the shield of faith, nothing else, only the shield of faith quenches 50% of the darts of the wicked one. No, think about this. Boy, listen, every one of them, all the fiery darts, the shield of faith is like a fire extinguisher. You know, when you, if you studied out the shields back then, you know what the Roman soldiers, what they did? They would take, you know, they were made from wood, of course, but they were then leather, heavy leather, and then those little brass nails or whatever. And before the battle, you know what they did? They would take that huge shield, can I speak this morning? And they would soak it in what? Water. Think about that. I mean, they would make it waterlogged. And then when they went out to battle, guess what happened when they would send the arrows and, you know, the whatever, you know, with maybe had tar on them or whatever, it would extinguish them immediately. Does that make sense? Now, if your shield of faith is not soaking in the Word of God every day, it's dry. It's parched. It's just not going to help you. You understand? You're not prepared. You have to do what's right. Man, listen, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water that I give unto him will never thirst. That's the kind that you need to use on your shield. Now listen, the word all should give each and every one of us incredible, man, assurance. No matter what the enemy throws at you, you can win. It doesn't say that you're going to enjoy it. It doesn't, and I'm not talking about persecution and all these other things. I'm talking about the devil right now, amen? Whatever he tries to throw at you. You know, maybe some days you're up, some days you're down, some days you're walking in the valley, some days you're having the mountaintop experience. But loved one, it doesn't matter. You have to have that shield of faith up. And I pray the word all is a revelation in your heart. It has to be that way. You have to believe it with all of your heart. The Word of God. Listen, a lot of Christians, they seem to rewrite Scripture. Don't do that. You know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful. He is faithful. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Amen? The Lord is faithful. He will establish you. Remember last Sunday, I used that Scripture. He'll keep your feet firm upon the rock. He'll never relax his hold upon you. And he says, he will guard you from the evil one. Don't rewrite that Scripture. Maybe he might. No, he will. He's doing that right now. So we have to stand in faith, taking up the shield of faith, soaked in the Word of God, able to extinguish every fiery dart of the wicked one. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by what? By sight. Now, that means we walk by faith, meaning not the things that we see. And we certainly don't walk by the things that we don't see. This world is passing away. Listen, we walk by faith. And here's what faith does. A person of faith sees into the invisible realm, in a sense. You know, if you can see it, it's not faith. Faith, everything is manifested first in heaven and then is manifested on earth for us. Is that right? Absolutely. So faith is a lifestyle of the believer. If you're not in that zone, you're not in the right zone. The Bible tells us in Romans 1 and 17, it says, the just shall live, your lifestyle, you shall live by faith. Paul the apostle, or whoever I believe wrote Hebrews, but the author of Hebrews. And now faith is, right this minute, now faith is, present tense, right this moment, the shield of faith. Now faith is the substance. Here's the substance, the Word of God, 66 books. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence or the proof of things that you do not see. There's not anyone here that I know of, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but there's not anyone I know at Calvary Chapel that has gone to heaven and returned. Do you understand? So how do you know there is a heaven? Because the Bible tells you so, and God cannot lie. It's the Word of God. It's holy, it's perfect, it's true. Amen? So we walk by faith, and here's the deal. Satan hates faith. He attacks faith, and so here you have to stay behind the shield of faith. Because his fiery darts, loved one, I tell you, they come without warning. They do. Unexpectedly, they just all of a sudden something happens. You see, a fiery dart is fiery because he wants to burn you down. And if he can't burn you down, you know what he does? He gets those that you love. He gets your family, your children, those that you care deeply about, and he'll do everything to burn them down in order to get to you. Did you know that? That's what he does. He's ruthless. He has no mercy, and he has absolutely no rules in warfare. None at all. He doesn't even know what a rule is. Fiery darts can come to you at any time. You can wake up and be in a great mood. You can be singing in the shower and come out of the shower depressed. Do you understand me? Why? Fiery dart. You can be driving to work, listening to praise song or maybe a sermon, and all of a sudden, what's happening? A fiery dart. Do you see? He is relentless. He never gives up, man. And you know what? There's so many darts. I don't have time this morning to even list them all. But let's just do a few, and then I want to get into something that I want you to see about three of the greatest darts of the devil that he still uses. Now, of course, we have the dart of lust. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, he says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. See, fiery darts are invisible. You know, Job was having a great day. All of a sudden, he had 10 fresh graves outside, didn't he? Oh, listen, you don't know what the day is going to bring, and that's what the devil does. It only takes a small spark from him when it comes to man, Christian or non-Christian. You have to be on guard. Listen, it only took a glance. It only took a look for David when he looked at Bathsheba. Amen? And look what that cost. Man, he is so, yes, those fiery darts. Or the fiery dart, here's one that I fight against all the time, every day. Distraction. In other words, how many of you, you go into your prayer time, man, and you're ready to pray, and then all of a sudden, it's like 15 million thoughts from where did they come from coming to your mind? You see, that is to distract you from prayer. Prayer is a work, and sometimes prayer is a battle, loved one. And then not only that, how about Bible study? Oh, man, you know, you're reading the Bible, and you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but you'll start reading the Bible, and then your eyes start closing. Does that ever happen to you? You know, and you're, oh, what's going on here? I mean, you only read one verse. Where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from God. It didn't come from the Holy Spirit, did it? No, you love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. No, you just immediately get sleepy. But if all of a sudden you hear the TV come on and there's a football game on, you're wide awake unless it's the Dallas Cowboys. No, darts of doubt. Darts of discouragement, darts of despair, then the darts of imagination. So why did I think that? Where did that come from? God, you know that's not me. What's going on? And then you have darts of accusations. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to rub your past sins or a present sin. He just wants to rub it into your face. Those are all darts. Remember that Satan, he walked into the garden, loved one. That's what he did. He walked into the garden, and he walked in disguised as a serpent. The devil is a master of disguises, and his favorite one, of course, is to appear as an angel of light. In other words, to make darkness look loving or look as light. Now, it says in Genesis 3:13 there in the garden, after Adam and Eve sinned, he says, "And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done?" In other words, the human race is now at stake. What have you done? And the woman said, "Well, the serpent deceived me and I ate." And then the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this," deceived Eve and Adam, "because you've done this, you," not Adam, not Eve, he's talking to the serpent, the devil, "you are cursed more," everyone say more, More. I like that word. You're cursed more than all cattle. You're cursed more than every beast of the field. Now listen carefully. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now, is he talking to the devil, or is he talking to a snake? Do you understand? He's talking to the devil. Yes, I know the snakes, they're on the ground. You know what I mean? They, you know, slither. But no, no, listen to me. The devil right there, the serpent, the dart thrower, if you will, he walked into the garden. Now listen, but he didn't walk out of the garden. That's what we need to understand. He had to slither on his belly. He had to crawl on his belly out of the garden, eating dust. And of course, dust would represent mankind. You know what I mean? We're made from dust. Amen? Now listen, think about that. You need to know he is defeated. Like God said, he says, on your belly you shall go. Instantly it happened, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now listen, dust is his diet. But here's the problem with the devil that we really need to understand. He constantly wants to bring every person, believer or unbeliever, down to his level. Does that make sense? That's exactly what he wants you crawling. He doesn't want you walking. He wants you right down there with him. He wants you right this minute. He wants you looking down and being down, and he wants your mind to say that you're defeated every day of your life, and he never, ever wants you to look up. Never. He wants you to be down with him. One of the fiery darts of the wicked one is he wants you to be a world thinker. He wants your mind to be conformed to the world. Another fiery dart, he wants you to concentrate constantly on the cares of this life. Remember in Mark 4:19, what do the cares of this life do? It says it chokes out the word of God. But Satan has three incredible fiery darts. And though we have overcome the wicked one, and though we've overcome the world through Christ Jesus, we live in a world that has not overcome the wicked one. Amen? A world that is passing away. It says in 1 John, I'm so sorry. It says in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world. Don't love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, fiery dart. Listen to this one. The devil, here's what he wants the believer. He wants you to have one foot in the kingdom, and he wants you to have one foot in the world. Why? Because if you have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, then part of you now, you are exposed. Does that make sense? You're not behind the shield. See, you're double-minded, okay? Oh, he loves that. And here's the thing. He knows that you're not going to love the world because you're a Christian. He knows that you're not of this world, but he just wants you to like this world just a little bit. See, Satan's world system, he's not talking about trees and rivers and all of that. He's talking about when John says that don't love the world, he means the world system that is under the devil. It means where evil is called good and good is called evil, where God is not recognized and God is not wanted or desired by man, because man loves darkness. They don't love light, fallen man. No, that's what he wants. See, that's that world system. No, you know, he says here, he says, for all, meaning everything that is in the world, everything that has its origin in that world system that Satan is in control of. He says, out of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of this world. Now listen, the world is ruled by those three fiery darts. Those are the most dangerous of them all. Man, listen, we know that the devil, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies, the fallen world, those that don't know Christ, the whole world lies in the sway or the cradle or the arms of the wicked one. And here's what the devil does. He loves to throw a fiery dart of the world at you. All that's in this world. He'll do anything to try to get to you, to get you out from behind the shield of faith. That fiery dart, the lust of the flesh, that's attacking our old man, our old nature. He will put things in front of you suddenly, unexpectedly, without warning, that appeals to your sinful nature, the old man. Did you know that? Listen, you can go on Christian websites today. It's appalling to me. You can, and I won't say which ones, and I still go there every day, but they're doing commercials that should not be on there. And I'm going, why are you doing that? Just, that's a click. One click will take you where you don't want to go. Do you understand me? And that's what the devil does. He's so subtle. He'll put that right in front of you. And then the other one, oh, the pride of life, trusting self, trusting your own resources instead of trusting the Almighty God or the shield of faith. Listen, you can never, absolutely never put down the shield of faith. You have to have it at all times. Why? Because you live in a culture. You live in a culture that Satan himself has set up and designed to exploit the sinful natures of every person. That's what he has done. The world, loved one, that we live in, this fallen world of which he and the demons are ruling in the principalities and powers and in the heavenlies and so forth, is the world is one big, huge dart. And man, he loves to throw it. And Satan will do absolutely anything to make you or to help you to remove yourself from behind the shield of faith. And we all know why. He knows why. Because it quenches all the fiery darts that he can throw at you. Every one of them. All you have to do is have the shield of faith and believe God's word. Listen again. He wants you discouraged. That's a big dart of the devil. He wants you always looking down. And he doesn't want you to look up. And he will do anything to keep you from looking up. Does that make sense? Psalm 3:1 says, Lord, how they've increased who trouble me, David says. Oh, many there are who they rise up against me. And listen to what they say now. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. And the voice of the enemy. He uses people. He whispers to you. Listen, that's what he wants you to believe. He wants people to come up to you, whatever you're facing in this life, whatever circumstances that you're going through, and he wants to say this, oh, did you hear what they said? And sometimes they could be believing, wonderful Christians. Amen? Yes. But he wants you to hear that. He wants you to believe that. Oh, there's no help. There's no help from God. But what did David say? He said, oh, but you, O Lord, you are a shield about me or a shield for me. You're the glory. Or no, you're my glory. You're the lifter and the one who lifts up my head. Loved one, listen to me. Jesus, our Lord, is the lifter of our head. Jesus is our shield. Jesus doesn't want you looking down. He doesn't want you crawling on your belly, eating dust like the wicked one, loved one. Not at all. Unless, again, he wants to bring you down to his level. No, faith is our shield. And faith keeps you behind the shield. It extinguishes every fiery dart. Don't get out from behind it. If you do, you're an open target. You're in the line of fire. You're going to get hit, man. No, the shield of faith, it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So what do we have to do? It's very simple. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, and the finisher, the perfecter, the one who's going to finish our faith. That's who we look to every day of our life. And there's only one way to stay behind the shield of faith. Just three words. Looking unto Jesus. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean, it's not looking. It says, that's not it. It says looking unto That's a very important word in the Greek. It literally means for you, you fix your eyes on absolutely nothing else. You don't look at your circumstances. You don't deny them. You just don't look at them. Does that make sense? You keep your eyes fixed only on one person, and you do so in trust and perfect confidence in the battle, and his name is Jesus Christ. You're looking unto him and no one else. We have to keep looking unto the captain of our salvation, not the circumstances of this life. That's the only way the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You know, all that the unsaved have in this world is the world. Isn't it horrible to be unsaved in the world that they maybe love and is passing away? But he who does the will of God endureth forever. Amen. Oh, to live in a world that is deceived and not know that you're deceived. That's the world that we live in. To live in a world where Satan has set up a culture that all it does all day is send fiery darts to people all over this planet. Only those who are born from above have overcome the wicked one and overcome this world. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 4:5, it says, and whoever, or whatever, but it means whoever, and whoever is born of God, whoever has Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life and believes it in their heart, whoever, it says, is born again. That's the only qualification for what I'm about to say, or scripture says, whoever is born again, here it is, overcomes the world. That's it. That's the only qualification. Whoever is born of this, again, of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Not our fighting, our faith. Picking up, taking up the shield of faith, loved one. And it says, and who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Faith is the means. Where there is no faith, there is no victory. Where there is no true living faith, there is no shield. Martin Luther said this great word about faith. He says, faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor, or divine favor, I should say, that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Man, above everything else now, you've got to do something, and you have to do it every day because we live in a battlefield. Every day, loved one, above everything else, taking up the shield of faith by which you will be able, you, it's personal, will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Every one that he can throw at you, faith in God, faith in the promises of God, will put them out. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a time when you need to run to Christ. You need to run to him because he died for you and he loves you. If you're listening live and maybe you're sitting here, I don't know. You need to come to him. And you say, well, I don't need him. You know why you said that? That's a fiery dart. The devil is a blinder of mine. Well, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. That's a fiery dart. He doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be set free. He certainly doesn't want you to be in heaven for all eternity. So if you don't know the Lord, you need to say right this minute, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, save me right this minute. Be the Lord of my life. Whether you're listening live or you're listening here, say, Jesus, just be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you believe that, he will save you. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you that, Lord, your word is perfect, that it's true, that your word never returns unto you void, but it returns to you, Lord. It accomplishes to which it is sent. So, Lord, this morning, we give you praise, oh God, for all that you've done for us and continue to do in us and with us. We give you praise this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen.